Leadership. Most of y'all, all of you, know the leaders of this church and who serve among you, but we certainly want to give them recognition. Paul's or Peter's writings, of course, regarding elders, the elders which are among you, he says, I exhort, who am also an elder, let me get away from the people that are behind me, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God. This is the charge that God has given these four men to feed this church which is among you, taking oversight thereof, not by constraint, no twisted arms, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, that's King James language for money, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples unto the flock. And so that's what the eldership of this church endeavors to do as fallible human beings. And these are your elders. Bruce has been with us for some time. His history with his congregation goes back to when he was a kid. His grandparents, of course, were members here. And then he married Bobby and moved off and had a bunch of adventures. And now is back and has been serving as an elder here. And Bruce, of course, his qualifications are obvious. His knowledge of Scripture, the quality of his character, and the steadfastness of his example are critical in the leadership of this church. Tom has been an elder here for a little while, for a few years. He was a deacon here for a period of time before that. And you know the strong suits of Tom, the qualities that he brings to the leadership of compassion and of caring and of service. And I haven't found anything that I've ever asked Tom to do that he was not willing to do. Or that he hadn't already thought of doing before I asked him. He is a great servant of this church. Joe, you have known forever. His history and memory of churches doesn't predate this one. When he was born, we were attending at Cameron, Oklahoma, where I was preaching, and at Warsford. But that was just, he was a few months old when he came here, so everything about Joe to know, you know. He is a good, genuinely good man. His ability to teach Scripture and do it clearly and concisely and in a very organized manner is outstanding. His example that he sets before us, the quality of his family, all of that is critical. That other guy on there, that's his name, and we'll pass on. You know more about me than I'm willing to admit. Our deacons, 1 Timothy 3, where Paul said, let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children in their own house as well. And for they that have used the office of a deacon well purchased to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus, and our deacons have purchased that. Lock, stock, and barrel in the service to this church, and we are privileged to have them in this church and in its service. Jeff, of course, and Jody, and Dusty and Mike. Jeff and Mike have been here again forever. I've known them since they were little kids here in this church. Have grown up here among us, have worked in this community, have provided jobs for many within this community, and always done so with honor and integrity, and have always jumped in to do whatever needed to be done in their service as a deacon. And Jody, likewise, since he and Laura married and became a part of this church, just leads in whatever way that we might deem fit. He's a good cook in the kitchen, and when we have prayer breakfast and things, and good at cleaning dishes. So Laura probably didn't know that, but he knows how to do that stuff too. And Dusty's abilities, of course, they're obvious. They're on display every Sunday or Wednesday night here among us, and his leadership of singing and of preaching and teaching and helping with Larry and Cindy and taking care of our Bible classes, all of that, just outstanding stuff. We are blessed in this church where so many congregations struggle to find men, number one, who are qualified, who can stand up underneath the scrutiny of the congregation as well as the Scriptures, to find men that are qualified, and then after finding qualified men, to find them saying, yes, yeah, we asked him. They said yes. We're blessed to have leadership. And these pictures aren't necessarily associated with. It's not that we sent Charlie and Rachel over to India. I just put pictures up here so you'll pay better attention. When you have a chance to see yourself, maybe you'll pay better attention to what's up on the screen. But we've been supporting India missions for many years here. Back, some of you here can remember back in the 80s, early 80s to mid 80s, when we were vested in the late 70s in supporting preachers over in India. We at one time supported 10 Indian preachers over there, and because their salaries are so poor and their income level, they can live on $50 a month, and so we supported 10 teachers, $500, or 10 preachers, $500 a month, and that was their sole support. But we quit doing that after a time, and we began doing correspondence courses, and went through years of doing correspondence courses, where we met here every, and some of y'all can remember, but I can't remember whether it was every Sunday evening after church, or every Saturday night, or whenever it was, and grading correspondence courses, and mailed them back to the people who had sent them in, and sent them the next correspondence course in that level, and finally, when they graduated, sent them their graduate certificate, and if they requested baptism, we got in touch with the missionary over there to arrange their baptism and all of that. But we gave up on the correspondence courses because, as you recall, we ran out of ink, and you couldn't buy enough ink to fill out all... We didn't really run out of ink, but there were so many requests. We were flooded with requests for correspondence courses that we simply could not keep up. It was beyond us to do any longer. So we went back to this. This is what we've been supporting since that time. We work with the Washburn congregation primarily in this. They're the kind of the lead church. We provide $600 per month in the support of the preacher training school in Seraphat. It's called a preacher training school, but the main emphasis is in training elders. What we discovered over time and experience was that so many of the congregations in India had no eldership. And so we were hiring preachers to go and preach, and those preachers were preaching maybe in 2 to 3 congregations. And so there were no elderships in these congregations, and the preachers were kind of in charge, and so they kind of became pope of that church, and there was no way of us holding them accountable for anything because they were way over there and we were way over here. And some shenanigans we found out later were going on with money and with one-man control of congregations, and it just wasn't healthy. So we stopped doing that and began working in the support of this church, which provides, it's a school, and provides training for men particularly, and also provides training for women, but particularly in trying to develop leaders and elders within local congregations in India, and they have been very successful in doing that. Larry Conway in Kenya. Larry has, this is Charlie and Liz, of course, and kids. But Larry Conway has been supported by this church again for a number of years. Larry and Holly and their kids, and they live in Nairobi. And they formed, he and others with whom he works, formed the Made in the Streets program, which simply means that Christian character being developed in the streets of Nairobi and in the dirtiest streets, in the most difficult streets, where Larry works and Holly is among the extreme poor and extremely needy. The school that they have established there, where they pull kids off the street and they put them in the school, which is a place where they live, it's a school where they live, and they're taught a trade in addition to being taught the Bible, is successful in getting kids off the streets and into some kind of productive lifestyle. Larry and Holly have been here with you before. It's been about 3 years, I think, since they were last here to talk to you, and you know them to be really great Christian people. We provide $600, you provide $600 a month in toward their support. This is Larry with some of the kids. The picture's not real clear, but you can see him on the street with all the clutter and some of the kids that he encounters as they just go out every day and deal with kids on the street, try to get them something to eat and take care of them as best they can. These are four of the young men, and they have about 40 or so in their school that are at any one given time, and these are four of the young men over there that were undergoing training and stuff. Well, there's five of them, if I count correctly. Cure Disaster Relief, that we've been supporting here for a while, not as long as some of the other works, we dropped one work, and in dropping that work, funds became available to support, provides at least some support for CURE, which is headquartered in Fort Smith with the West Ark Church of Christ, as you know, and basically active during times of disaster. They send out trucks where there's hurricanes and things like this, and where clothing is needed and other stuff like this, we and you try to round up additional support. We have the contribution box in place out there from time to time that we use to send money up there as well. Truth for Today, we've been involved with probably for 30 years or so. Brandon has grown, hasn't he? We need a new picture. It's a ministry in print. If you go back in our library and check it out, you can find all the publications from Truth for Today. That's a whole commentary, a series of commentaries on the Bible that have been written. And their effort, of course, is to put the gospel into the language of people in foreign lands. And they have translated the Bible and their teaching materials into, well over 100 languages. And they send this material out, of course, free of charge to those that are requesting it for help. And it's good material. If you want to use any of it back there, if you need it for lessons or teaching, it's excellent material. They have been responsible for conversion of thousands and establishing new churches throughout the world. Eddie Clore and Brian Altmiller, although we haven't heard from Brian for a long time, are our traditional contacts. And we provide them $300 a month support. The Family First Foundation, Bill Wheeler has been here and has visited with you on multiple occasions about the work, and he did a marriage kind of thing seminar for us for a few Sundays in a row, and he's active directing the Family First Foundation. We provide $200 a month support toward that work, and he works with the Arkansas legislature to defend and to support family values legislation in the Capitol, in addition to his preaching. And then several campus ministries that we work with and support, or you do. This is at UFAS at Fort Smith, and very active. You provide pizza. We announce that from time to time. You provide desserts and soft drinks and things like that. And I think every 3 months or so, a group of you will head up there and put all that together and serve the students there at the center. It's in the 14th year of its work. Works on strengthening college students and teaching the lost, and we provide $300 support each month to the campus ministry. Razorbacks for Christ, we have supported them for four decades, I guess, at the University of Fayetteville. They do the same function as UFAS up here in Fort Smith, and we provide $120 per month support for them. At ATU, we have the student ministry there. Support that we provide. It's the same work there at Arkansas Tech as is done at the others, and we provide $100 a month support there. And most of the support for these other schools came about as we sent kids off, and we felt like in order to assist our kids who were students there, we needed to support the ministry there, and so that's kind of where we picked these up along the way. But at Conway, this is under UCA at Conway. Works directly as the others do in strengthening Christian students. We provide $50 per month support at UCA. Southern Christian Home have, as long as I've been here and before I came here, which is almost 50 years, this church was supporting the work of Southern Christian Home. And it's the oldest child home facility in the state of Arkansas that's supported by the Churches of Christ. And it provides the care for kids birthed through college care. Most of these kids come through the courts, not as true orphans, as we think of orphans, but as children that are taken away from parents because of abuse or drug addiction or other things and placed under court care. And they come to Southern Christian Home through that. We provide $500 per month support for Southern Christian Home. Perigo Christian Home, we've been working with them for several years as well. Not as long as Southern Christian Home. They're in Perry, Arkansas, obviously. James Balcom has been here and visited before, and others have come to share with us regarding the work there. They are a newer facility than Southern Christian Home, and their facilities, as in the presentations that many of you have been able to see here at this church, are just outstanding in what the opportunities that they provide for the kids and the help that they give to them. $100 a month for support of Perigo Christian Home. Church library, this is just a disclaimer that we normally state to all of you, that the books in the library have been written by people who are educated and intelligent, but all are fallible. Only one book in that library is perfect, and that's the Bible, whose author is God. So we encourage you to read the books of men with understanding and to read the book of God with reverence. And I wish, you know, I understand how it is because the books that I used to keep in my personal library at home, I put in this library here. And we don't use books much anymore, do we? We don't. We use internet research. And everything that's available in that library is also available on the internet free of charge. But if you're not one that's into that kind of stuff, then please use the resources that are back there. They're good resources. If you don't know our church website, this is what it is, and you can catch up on old bulletins. Every bulletin is posted on the website. Every sermon preached by whomever here is posted on that website, and you can listen to those at any time that you might want or review through the material on the website at your convenience. Okay, here's money stuff. The amount we provide for the above mission work that we just talked about, when you total all those amounts up, is $2,920 per month. The budget for utilities, somebody has to pay the light bill and the phone bill and the gas bill and the water bill and the web service and the dumpster. So those are utility kinds of things, and we budget $1,000 a month for that. Local expenses for each month, preaching is $75 per sermon, regardless of who's standing up there to preach. When they get in the pulpit, we'll write them a check for $75. No full-time people here on staff. Cleaning, we pay $600 a month to keep the building clean, and Peggy is presently doing that and does an outstanding job of that. For bookkeeping here at the church, $200 a month. Continuing in that line, building supplies, we budget $250, literature, $200, insurance, and that one's low. I meant to look it up before I made the revisions in this, and I forgot to. So it's more than that on this building. Local benevolence, we budget $800 for local benevolence. We keep that in a separate fund, and as that fund is exhausted, we replenish it from the regular church treasury, but we keep the benevolence fund in a different account. And we don't... Those of you that look at the financial statement every month, the financial statement is posted on the bulletin board. Many of you don't care to look at it. If you do, it's all there. Every dollar we spend every month and where it goes. You notice that we don't publish the names of those to whom we give local benevolence. And that's people who need money to help pay a light bill or just expenses that have come up or other things that within our membership or within families of our membership. And we don't do that because we don't think that needs to be publicized. It's often an embarrassment for people to have to say, I don't have enough money. I need a little help. So the total of our monthly expenses every month is $3,950, not counting our loan payment. Adding our mission utilities and local expenses together places our total monthly expenses at $6,870. Church income. We wouldn't do any of that other stuff if it wasn't for this slide that we put here. So here's how we pay for it. Our average weekly income over the last 6 months has been $2,973 per week, which the monthly average would compute to be $11,892. Our income less expenses leaves $5,022 each month available for the loan payment that is presently existing and for any other work that might come up. We try to keep, we're not one of those churches, as you have noticed, that wants to build up a large account. There are some smaller churches that have $60,000, $70,000, $100,000 in the bank and no real plan for what they want to do with that money. We try to keep $10,000 in the bank, and that's all. You say, Larry, what if something wrong happens? That's what the $10,000 is for. It's something, you know, if we blow an air conditioner or something else and anything else, we've got insurance. So it's for that. We don't want to collect money from you that you are giving to the Lord and let it sit there and do nothing. So our original building loan that we took out back in 2009 was for $600,644. The remaining amount that we owe is $107,404. We post that remaining amount in your bulletin each week. And that's what we owe at present. The rest of it, we paid off. Our monthly payment is $3,881 toward that loan. It's a 30-year loan, but we're anticipating paying it off much earlier, obviously. We've been paying for 10 years, and it's almost paid off. Here's our loan payment progress. We made our first payment March 1st of 2009. The total loan is $600,000. We just covered that. Over the last 10 years, we paid off that amount, and we have left $107,404. At this rate, we'll have loan paid off, and we also give our fifth Sunday collection, of course, toward the early payment of the church loan. At this rate, we'll have it paid off in two more years, either by the close of 2002 or by like the first or second month of 2022, which would be the years 2021 and 2022, and we should be done by that time. I just made that statement. And here's what's for your consideration. All of that stuff is news that's not new news to anybody in terms of what we've been doing here for some time. But what we've been talking about for a period of time in our business meetings is all of you old people in this church. If you wouldn't get any older, we wouldn't be just having a discussion, but you just keep on getting older every year, and every year you get older, you get less able to sprint up and down those stairs. As for many of us, that time of sprinting up and down those stairs has ceased, and it's quickly coming to an end, the business of walking up and down those stairs. And for some of you, it has already ended. There's just no way to negotiate that. So here's what we've been looking at. We've been looking into the prospect of adding a lift or elevator to the building in order to provide easier access to our members who struggle making it up and down the steps to the fellowship area. This building was designed at the time it was built, and the plans that Lowell and others worked out to have a lift or an elevator put in it at that time. And it's over here next to the ladies' restroom. The space is there and cut out already. We'd lose a little storage room there and have to do some additional getting ready work, but the area is already there. With increasing numbers in need of help, again, we began investigating the possibility. It's difficult. When we had the meal for Linda here and family and for George's funeral, when you bring families in particularly that are handicapped and are aged, which when you go to funerals, if you've had that business, you know that old people tend to go and young people don't. And that's just the way of life because young people are working and old people are not. So old people show up and often those old people can't get around. We have people that come to funerals in wheelchairs and walk on walkers, and they certainly can't then get downstairs to meet with the rest of the family unless they're brought around back, and then after the meal is over or after the meeting with the family is over down there, they've got to get back up here at the auditorium, so we have to pick them outside the building and walk them that distance around, and it's just difficult for many people. And I know we could get them in what we discussed at one time, and which we still do with at this point in time, is if people can't use those stairs, well, we stick them back in the car again, or have them get back in the car and drive around the back and unload them back there by the kitchen door and let them get in that way. And that's a workable deal, but again, if compassion for older people and disabled people would tell us that part of them getting to church, if you have helped people like that get to church, you know, getting dressed and getting in the car and getting the appliances in the car and then getting here and getting out of the car and getting the appliances out and getting in the building is a day's work for that person and for the person that is caring for that person. We need to help them, is the opinion that I have. So here's what's up for your consideration. We met with three different firms here that came and looked the building over and the situation over. One is out of Little Rock. And a commercial vertical lift is what this is what they recommended. This is what we expressed the most interest in. Has a 750-pound capacity, and the cost, approximate cost of this would be $33. Now, two of these lifts, bear in mind, this is a lift. This is not an elevator. So these lifts are not enclosed from about halfway up. There's nothing around other than about halfway up. However, which is what you see here. We will build over. We'll take care of that so that when one person gets in there, there's no way they're going to fall over an edge somewhere. It'll have a wall, a sheetrock wall, running up the side, so there won't be any problem with that. You won't be staring out into space into the guts of the building or anything like that. and that would, of course, wheelchair people could just simply be rolled in there by whoever their caregiver is at that point, push the button, and here you go. This lift is also one we're considering. This is a symmetry hybrid vertical lift. It's about the same as the other one, but you can see it's completed on the inside. It doesn't have Doesn't have any gaps. It's got a ceiling thing in it. It's got the walls in it. Looks more like a regular elevator. Cost would be $35,500 for that, approximately. And here's another one with a half size from Country Home elevator. Is about $35,000 for a vertical lift and the capacity, 750 pound capacity. So all of these are pretty much equal in terms of the service that they would provide. They have to meet codes, state codes for elevator services. They have to have a phone within them in case it gets stuck. So there'll be a phone in there in case somehow or another gets stuck when somebody's not expecting it to get stuck and nobody's paying attention. All of this, if installed, would be installed with children in mind, that we make sure that there's not any way that they can access or injure themselves around any of this equipment or anything that's going on. This would let out, where it goes down through the floor level, it would let out into the fellowship area close to the water fountain down there. If you remember where the water fountain is, the wall, it let out right by in one of those rooms down there. And I didn't put, we did also talk to the people about a regular elevator, but after we got over the heart attack and stroke for the cost of that, we decided lifts look really good. $70,000 plus to put a regular small elevator in that does everything that a regular elevator does. The cost of installing, well, I put that there. The financing would be probably at Farmers Bank. Here's what we've discussed. We could fold the cost into our existing loan and take an additional year to pay it off. So that instead of having a loan paid off in 2 years, we'd have it all paid off in 3 years. We'd take an additional year and pay off the lift. Or we could take out a separate loan and make the payments at the same time, of $1,000 a month or something, and get it paid off that way. Another option would be to wait the 2+ years for the building loan to be paid off and do the platform lift at that time. So it would be 2 more years of our people who need the lift now to have to continue to endure until we decided to do it, if you decided at all. So we want your input, and there is a sheet of options that I've come up with on the center table in the foyer, and we'd ask that you select your option. Mark the boxes that you think are appropriate, that you would like for us to pursue. The first thing on there, on the list of things you might choose to do or not do, is do nothing. Every list I put out as a school administrator, when we were talking about changes to make and things that we might want to do, at the top of every list I put out was do nothing. That's always an option. Do nothing. We don't expect you to sign the box. Please just fill out one per person and place it in the box that's provided out there. We'll check the results out at our next business meeting. That won't be tonight, of course. And let you know the decision that is made. You know, your choice, your decision. We will follow on the basis of your input. So if we have... we have 94 people that want it and one person that doesn't, we'll find you another congregation somewhere where you'll feel comfortable among people that don't care anything about the old folks. No, I'm joking. I'm joking, obviously, about that. But we don't have any predisposed set of numbers that we're looking at as to how we will make that decision. So here's some other people, people that we love around here, and good faces of folks that we value, that write the checks every week and put the money in and support this church with your presence as well as with your prayers. And we appreciate your doing this. We don't have pictures of everybody in here because I got tired of working on it. If you feel offended by my having left you out, then I left Don and myself out as well, so we'll all be offended together. But these are good pictures of good people. Some of them, of course, have changed. All of us change over time. Ivan and Angelina. Ivan and Angelina. I just couldn't hardly stand to think about changing that picture. And Chris and Stephanie are in it, too. But other good folks. And Whitney with her little dress. And there's Kelly and Mike and Cameron. And who is that little boy down there? He has grown up on us. And others whose families have changed over the course of time. Cole is about 6'12" right now. So just as we're through, other than just a comment or two here. Psalm 127 and 1. David said, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. So all the efforts that we put in here in physical construction mean nothing at all. I mean, they'll be burned up in the last big fire. But unless we live as people who recognize that we can do nothing that lasts except we do it through the Lord. We'll soon be finished with paying this, but we will never be finished with working with God in building this church spiritually. So, well, we do this as we always do. We commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. This is our aim and our prayer daily for this church. Let's get the song up there. It will come with this button. Okay, this will be our invitation song. If you're here not a Christian, we want you to be a part of our fellowship here. We welcome you into this church to come in obedience to the gospel and repentance of sin and confession of your faith. We'd love to baptize you into Christ this morning. If you need our prayers and assistance in any way that we can provide that, we stand ready while we stand and sing. First and last thing.